And now, an ad from Dad.
All right. Save money on car insurance when you bundle home and auto with Progressive.
Can I take these off?
All right. What is this? This looks good.
Wow. That's well made.
Where did you get this? I'm talking to you with the hair. Yeah, where did you get this? It's good stuff. That's solid. That's not veneer. That's solid stuff.
Progressive can't save you from becoming your parents, but we can save you money when you bundle home and auto. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Discounts not available in all states or situations.
This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. It is that time of night. My name is Rich Bradbury, and we're with you all the way through until 10 p.m. this evening. I have a guest coming in the studio. Her name is Indrani Kopal. She's an award-winning Malaysian documentary filmmaker, a former video journalist at Malaysia Kini TV. You may have heard about a movie she made, a documentary. It's called The Game Changer. It was accepted into 17 film festivals and won the Best Documentary Award at the prestigious Cannes American Pavilion Emerging Filmmaker Showcase in the film festival in 2015. I've got her here in the studio very shortly. I'm going to be picking her brains about why she moved from making journalism-type pieces to storytelling. Are they the same? What are the differences? I'll find out very shortly. As usual, I have a giveaway. It is a BFM goodie bag this evening. 016-201-9000 is the number to remember. As per usual, send in your name, your IC number, and why you deserve to win. I have to do ding ding because the bell is not in the studio. I'll be right back after these messages. You are listening to That Time of Night here on BFM 89.9, the business station. BFM 89.9, the business station. It is That Time of Night. My name is Rich Bradbury. I am joined in the studio by
Indrani Kopal.
Indrani, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Richard.
Thank you very much for coming. And it was lovely bumping into you in the foyer downstairs, jumping out of your taxi, catching you off guard.
Trying to be here on time.
Yeah, you were. Early. Plenty early. Of time early.
That's good.
As I said to you just outside, the one thing I like about doing this kind of show is that I get to meet people like you, and I don't have to write questions, right? But that's a very different approach to the way I tell a story to how you tell a story.
Right.
And I think that's something we're going to have to explore a little bit later on. But first and foremost, the Game Changer, the one that went on to Cannes, and it's gone on to what, how many, 17 film festivals is it now?
17 by today, yeah, by
wow.
now.
By,
yeah.
At this stage?
At this stage.
Was that ever any intention?
No, at all. It's just, it's supposed to be a school assignment again, and
right.
then... It's just one of my professors encouraged me to say, you really have to give the film a chance to get out, put it out there and get people to see it. Mm. See, what happened is because the film has been really successful, I have been, I actually continued filming the guys, all six of them.
Afterwards.
And I spent three years with them. And right now, actually, I'm leaving to Boston next Tuesday to continue actually, to finish the film. I've been editing it. It's at 48 minutes now. The feature length of The Game Changer is called Incarcerated Rhythm. This is the first time I'm actually saying the
great title.
I know. It's a great title.
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. So I presented the film as a thesis film. I graduated last year. I mean, end of 2015. And it stood at 48 minutes. And then now I'm going back to spend a month cutting it to the final version to a 75 minutes or so, maybe.
Right.
It's a feature length, and it's the first time actually I've followed a group of people for such a length of time, like 3 years, just observing them and off and on do an interview. You'd be surprised, actually, the way both of us do the interview is very much a script. I don't script the questions myself.
Right.
It's really on the go and see what happens, and that's the observational style, right?
So absolutely.
I'm looking forward to release the film, to submit it for Tribeca Film Festival end of this year. So that's my deadline. And
end of this month.
End of this year.
End of this year.
I know, right? There's a lot of process involved in this. Editing will finish maybe sometime in July. And then I have to do beta screenings. And then, you see, this is the beauty of me being not a journalist or a video journalist and doing this as a full-time documentary filmmaker, because the creative process is really different. And I love
it. Yeah.
I love it because from the completion of it to get the final version out, you really have to go through different stages as well.
Right.
And then I have to clear the music,
yeah.
clip the music rights, and then I have to send it for post. And the grant application period in itself, an exciting phase for me because you're...
Wait, the grant application is exciting?
Exciting because you're learning about, you're writing about, because we are visual people. We
right.
don't write down. And then you're forced to write down. They ask you your mission, your vision, your logline, 10 different synopses.
I can't
and
do
it's
that.
Just, I know it's 10 pages long. And you, by the time you finish writing the grant application, you're like, now I know more about my film than I did before.
All right. I think what we'll do, though, right. we'll take a very short break. And when we come back, because there's going to be people at home who perhaps haven't heard about it.
Right.
And I think maybe just to give a brief synopsis of what you've got so that if
sure.
people want to see it in the future, sure. when it's available, they can do that. Yeah?
Perfect, yeah.
All right. Let's take a very short break. I do have a giveaway, folks. A quick reminder. I am giving away a BFM goodie bag. Ooh, so exciting. The question is, what is the name of Indrani's documentary that won at the award at the Cannes Film Festival? Let's call it the short title, shall we, for the short version, because that's probably what you've heard of. Anyway, a short break. We'll be right back after these messages. BFM 89.9, the business station. BFM 89.9, the business station. It is that time of night. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm joined in the studio by...
Indrani Gopal.
Indrani, for people who are just tuning in, tell people what you do.
What I do?
Mm.
I think I safely and confidently would say now I'm a documentary filmmaker.
Right.
For a long time, I had trouble admitting that.
Why? Why?
Because I think I was a video journalist and... I thought I was making a documentary and I was doing the news features.
Right.
And, you know, you think you're making something only to go somewhere and learn for 3 years that you were not making what you were saying.
Right, 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 right. Okay.
And,
so carry on, please.
Yeah, so for 6 years I was doing news features. And then when you really learn what document really is, and I pursued MFA in the U.S. and I came back and realized, oh, it's a different it's animal.
It's a different animal
it's a different
altogether.
Altogether. So that's what happened. So right now I think... Having 13 years in total of experience of making films, I think I do know now the difficulties of making documentaries. Therefore, I would safely, confidently say documentary filmmaker.
Nice. Okay. So, The Game Changer, the documentary you've been working on for a while now.
Right.
Accepted into 17 film festivals.
That's right.
Tell people a little bit of the synopsis of it. Yeah, the synopsis of it.
So, it's a story about... It's more of a biopic of Susan Slotnick, the woman who went up to the Woodburn Correctional Facility and spent 8 years, by now 9 years actually now, volunteered her time every Sunday teaching men in the prison modern dance. So what happened, when I met in 2013, six guys from the prison got out. And I was very fortunate to be introduced to them. And then I ended up spending time with all of them, Susan and the guys, for actually in a total of 3 years. But the game changer... it was the first semester I met her. It was in summer 2013. I spent 6 months just filming them. And I said, okay, I need to submit an assignment to school. And the game changer came. It came alive. And it was just that. And I got all my marks all in. And, you know, it looks good. And then my professor said, okay, why don't we do one step ahead? Why don't we start submitting to festivals? I said, why? You know, you're a, you know, it's like you can't, I can't wait to publish on YouTube and share it with friends on Facebook. And
right,
that's what we
right,
do, right?
Right.
He said, no, don't think short term, think long term. You have to get the film out to people who probably will never get to see it if they're not in your group. And so a lot of convincing took place. And, you know, surprisingly, convincing had to take place because the way we journalists think, it's quick.
Right.
When I finish and you put up, you don't think that, what, I have to keep that film from sharing for a year?
Well, that's what I was going to say, because that's almost like a double-edged sword, right?
Yeah.
Because you want to share it, but
yes.
once you've submitted it, you can't.
You can't share it. You can't put it anywhere in public to view it. It's the festival viewers get to see
right.
it. But what happened is, how many views are you looking at when you share it to public? I mean, how many, what's it like? 1,000?
Yeah.
100 if I'm lucky, 1,000. If I'm lucky, 10 people can watch it.
Right.
You know?
Right.
How many of my friends actually watch documentaries? My best friends don't even watch my films.
That's one of the only things I watch on Netflix, you know?
Right.
And even Netflix here in Malaysia, the documentary selection is not good, let me tell you.
I know. So that's the catch over there. It's like, no, filmic audience who love documentaries goes to documentary film festival.
Right.
So if you have a full house in 10 festivals, that's like, you're talking about what? 500, 600 viewers, yeah, audience for your film who wants to watch it, who coming to watch your film.
Right.
Instead of you trying to, hey, watch my film, it's online, share the link, you're forcing people to watch something they may not actually come in looking for it.
True, true.
So who's your true audience? The kind of debate we had, it was really a long back and forth about why are we even submitting to festivals, and it's this film even festival ready. So the content versus the quality, you know. So the content was the king, and that what got it.
That's what they say, right?
Right, isn't it?
How did you first meet Susan?
So when I coined what I wanted to do over there is the rehabilitation through arts. So once I coined that theme, I started looking for people. So I had a... and I actually just Googled rehabilitation through arts, and it so happened that Susan volunteered under a banner called an organization called Rehabilitation Through Arts. So she was the first result, and because she's not online, so it was really hard to find her contact information. So I contacted the organization Rehabilitation Through Arts, see if they can put me in touch with Susan, and they refused.
Oh, really?
Really?
Why?
Refused, I see. I don't know why, but when I did get in touch, because they already have a local production house working with the organization making a film in the prison.
I see.
They did not want any conflict of interest there, especially not a foreigner coming asking to get in touch with Susan. Susan is not an easy person to deal with. She's a tough cookie.
Right.
Yeah, so I think everybody was on a short leash with her. So I had to stalk her on Facebook. And you know when you're
as
not,
we all do nowadays,
right?
Yeah.
Exactly. So what happened is when I sent a Facebook message, it went straight to her filter box, so she didn't see it for a long time. And then when she finally got to it, it's like, "Who are you? What do you want?" And she really suspected. I mean, the worst kind of thing, like somebody stalking her for
whatever nefarious reasons.
Exactly.
Yes. Right, right.
It's like, but she saw me wearing a sari. On my profile picture, it's like, that's sari. And she's traveled very well. She's traveled wide and she's been to India. She has worn a sari in her life, so she knows. It's like an Indian girl in a sari. So she's definitely not stalking me to sell me something. So let me just, maybe she's selling sari, I don't know. And then she said, "What do you want? I saw your message, but I don't get what you want." And I said, "Can I call you?" Yeah, and then we spoke over the phone. She said, "Can you come down to New Paltz right now?" This is from New York to New Paltz, 3-hour bus ride.
Wow.
I said, "Okay, I can come tomorrow." And I did. I took the bus and I went up and saw her and spent half a day convincing her, pitching my story. You know, the first problem is you're a foreigner.
Yeah.
You're an Indian. You're a woman.
Yeah.
And for them to trust that for anybody to trust you to tell their stories, or for you to come and spend time, especially in such a vulnerable space where she's going to have ex-prisoners coming out and she's like the mother hen. She's really very protective of all of them. So that's how I met Susan.
That's a great story, though. And now your relationship with Susan is...
very good. I mean, yeah, she's like my mother. And now she calls and asks, "Hey, who are you dating? What are you doing?" The same thing she does to the guys. She's wonderful. And she's excited to... she's excited about the feature length. And she's been basically calling me every day. "When are you releasing it? Come on." I
said,
"Susan, hang on."
And how many times has Susan seen it yet?
Oh my God, it's a very good question. She loved The Game Changer. She said,
right,
"I never thought a woman from another culture could get me. Indrani, you got me." And she said she watched it more than 100 times. I believe her.
Wow.
She could. She's capable of
That must mean something, though. You know? It's definitely connecting with her. And obviously, you must have.
She said she has never seen herself in that light.
That's wonderful.
I know. That's something, isn't it?
That's a story right there.
I know. She liked it. She liked how it was very carefully. I mean, looking back at the film, I mean, forget the quality. I mean, I was lugging the camera myself and the lights and everything. It's really a student quality. You know, I didn't have money to hire a crew to a professional. But what I did, though, is just really spend time and talk to her, really trying to find out who this woman, why she's doing what she's doing. And you always go back to what's going on for you. To bring yourself to do something like that. It's always something with her. So I think going down to that core, it led me inside her world, finding out what was going on. She was suffering. She needed healing herself. So her finding a way to the prison is finding a way out to heal herself. That's what happened.
That's brilliant. Okay, we have to take a short break. I have more questions for you in a minute. 0162 019 000 if you want to take part in the giveaway. We are giving away a BFM goodie bag. The question is, what is the name of Indrani's documentary that's been accepted into 17 film festivals? Send your answer to 0162 019 000. I need your full name, your IC, and why you deserve to win. We'll be right back. BFM 89.9, The Business Station. BFM 89.9 at the Business Station. It is that time of night. My name is Rich Bradbury, joining the studio by
Indrani Kapal.
Her documentary, The Game Changer, has been accepted into 17 film festivals. We've been talking about that so far. It was a school project first, then.
Yes, a school project.
Right. So my question, I've got a couple of questions that I want to talk about in this segment. Is first, why did you choose to do the topic that you wanted to do? Mm-hmm. Rehabilitation.
Right.
And secondly, what has happened since you finished filming?
Mm.
For the people that are involved in the documentary.
Wow. Okay. So the first question maybe. The first one, why? When I was in the program, we had an excursion to a psychiatry center called Creedmoor Psychiatry Center in New York. And you know, you would expect to see a setting that you're probably familiar with in Malaysia, where people get, you know how it is. But that's not what I actually saw. I saw a living museum, literally called a living museum, where it's a huge warehouse, a place of art, everybody in it just creating art, artwork that probably will have a lot of blur lines outside because they're so uncensored. They're just so crude and raw and beautiful. And the person who's running the place really created a space for whoever to come in and just express and to leave and just to be themselves and no stigma, no labels, no nothing. And that's the place they get treatment. So they get treated just by them creating art, let art to heal. So the whole rehabilitation throughout had a new definition and understood what it really means by going there. And that day I decided maybe my coming to U.S. is just for this whole project. You know, right now, looking back, I still feel like the entire trip, my trip, getting Fulbright, spending 3 years, getting all kinds of scholarship to get through the program and finishing Game Changer, now expanding into feature length, I feel like everything led me to finishing this project right now. And it's going to end only in 2019, because in the U.S., when you seek for grants, you don't really finish a film. You have to give a 2-year plan what you're going to do with the film.
Right.
Unless you give that, they're not going to give you any money. So,
right.
So I know now I'll be sitting on this project for next 2 months until 2019. So that's the beauty of it, you know. You're married to this project.
Right,
it's the longest relationship probably one can have. Right. So what happened to them? So I finished. After Game Changer, I started filming in 2013. I completed the shoot 2014 mid, maybe. I started editing it to get a cut out by end of 2015 so I can graduate. And then, you know, like everybody, I faced a wall. I have no means to move forward. I came back.
Right.
I started my own thing here, and I started, instead of going into employment, I decided to do freelancing. I opened a documentary center called Far East Documentary Center, a small boutique center where I launched a project called Biography Film Projects. I've been making projects like that. So I shelved the project for almost a year, and something happened. A friend came down and watched it and said, you can't shelve this. You really have to go back to it. I said, I want to, but I need the funding. And every time I go back, I check in with the guys, but then everybody's curious what happened to the project. But I just needed to leave the project for a bit to breathe.
Were they worried that you'd given up on them?
Some of them, maybe they have, but because the Game Changer has been very successful for them, that in itself a huge success. They're very content and happy with that. But then Susan knows that I'm working on something, and she's seen the 48-minute cut, and she said, Indrani, you have a project in hand, and it's a gold mine. You really, really can't sit on it. You have to finish it, you know. At least you have to put it out there. It would be a sad story if you did not pursue this. So.
And how has it changed these people's lives?
You know, that's a good question.
even from the short trailer, you can see men who are happy in a space.
Right.
You know, they're being creative. They're relaxed. They're,
yeah.
they have a passion for something which I'd assume they haven't had for an awful long time.
No.
And that's what I see out of it. I see happiness and I see a safe space for them.
It is actually, you know, it's probably the only space that let them be themselves. But it's also a space, interestingly, some of them are moving away from. All of the guys actually stopped dancing right now.
Because, really?
Yeah, they moved on with life. They'll dance. You see, the interesting part here is...
It was the catalyst.
It was. When they were inside, the dance was... they look forward for Sunday when Susan to come in that door for so they can practice. So dance was the only thing kept them going in the prison for that many years, right? They got out. Dance was the only place they get to fall back. Very initially, because everything else is foreign.
Yeah.
You've been away so long. Every time they perform in standing ovation, what happened is, first time, it's giving them an identity apart from ex-prisoners or formerly incarcerated men to dancers. This new identity as an artist, as a dancer, allowed them to get nearer, allowed them to actually, no, actually allowed the public, it's not them, it's allowed the public to go to them and ask and talk to them. What's your story? Because now they're no longer seen as ex-prisoners, but seen as an artist. They just created something beautiful using their body. And as an audience, now I can walk up to them and after performance, after whatever, they can mingle now during after party time and talk to them like everybody else.
Right.
And they're not afraid anymore. They forgot. I mean, their past is now get to be put away.
Had a new identity given
this
to
new,
them.
This is my whole thesis behind, you know, we all, as filmmakers, we have our own thing that we've been trying to push in the film, but we may not spell it out. This is the thing I've been pushing, that these guys now have a new identity. So every time I screen Game Changer, I want all of them there because now I want the audience to not engage with me. The Q&A is always a direct to the boys and say, talk to them, ask them what was it like to be out. Would you hire them now? Would you see them working for you?
Mm.
Are they really so bad? Don't you believe in giving people a second chance? So I love that after screening talk that happens at half an hour, everybody just asks them, Andre, what are you doing? What's your next plan? And they're not, you know, they're seen in a completely different light. And I love that.
Mm.
So what happened is for them, for the guys, while it's all well and good, and then they got out, the film was made, they were performing, the film screening, it all happened very quick, all at the same time. You know, the act of observing also changes things. So being camera on them also changed a lot of things. They may be on their best behavior. I don't know. But I know everybody in this process changed. I changed. But then when I left, the project ended, their project ended. While Andre's still dancing, everybody else moved on. Some got married, started having baby. They actually got employed because they were dancers. They actually got employed. People actually employed them. They actually have the film, the Game Changer on their phone. Mm. They show it to people. They go to interview. They show them, look, I'm a dancer. Look at this.
Right.
Some of them actually were hired after seeing them after seeing the film, you know. So a lot of things changed for them. And they want to move away from now, from that identity. Okay, I'm a former prisoner. I'm a dancer. But now I'm a father.
Right.
I'm an employee in so and so company. I do not want to associate with that identity anymore. So this was an interesting journey, and I'm sort of seeing in all of them. And
right.
To me, it's so organic. It's just it makes sense.
Just before we wrap up on this segment, right. Do you think that the six guys that you featured is that right? Yeah,
that's right. Yeah,
would have had the same opportunity, the same ability to have a new identity if there hadn't been a film made, if it was just Susan doing what she was doing?
I think so, yeah, because they still performed everywhere. They're still known. A lot of articles have been written, news all over them. It's just a film wasn't made.
Right.
So I don't think, maybe it added a little bit of limelight in the film world for film goers. So it's so much for people. Not for them, you know.
Right.
It's for everybody else, actually.
Right.
So the film actually reached out to people to get to know them. They've already been known. They're already out there. They have their thing going. It's just us now have to get to know them and say, hey.
We could do with something like that here, couldn't we?
I know, right? Isn't it?
Right. That's something maybe we could talk about a different time. Right. We have to take a short break. We'll be right back. Well, we've got another 4-minute break coming up in a minute. 0162 019000 if you want to take part in the giveaway. We're giving away a BFM goodie bag. The question is, what is the name of Indrani's documentary featured now at 17 film festivals? Don't go anywhere. You're listening to That Time of Night here on BFM 89.9, the business station. BFM 89.9, the business station. It is That Time of Night. I'm Rich Bradbury in the studio with
Indrani Kapal.
She's with me all the way through until 10 p.m. I haven't managed to scare her off yet. Her documentary, The Game Changer, has been accepted into 17 film festivals and won the Best Documentary Award at the prestigious Cannes American Pavilion Emerging Filmmaker Showcase at the Film Festival in 2015. Mm-hmm. That's something to be proud of, right?
Yes. Yes, but every time they go like a Cannes Film Festival, it's not really Cannes. Maybe someday I'll have my film in Cannes.
I'm pretty sure you will. I have a good feeling, right? So my question is, before we wrap up, you're married to this film for another 2 years, this documentary for another 2 years.
Yes.
Are you making plans as to what to do next? Are you looking for other projects?
I'm always looking for other projects because other projects pays me to sustain as a full. It's, you know, the question is, how am I doing this?
Mm.
I've been doing this for the last year and a half. It's been a struggle.
Mm.
But every time people ask me, how are you doing this, being a full-time documentary filmmaker in Malaysia? There's no such avenue for people. How do you do that?
Yeah.
Unless you're lining up for FINAS funding, unless you have some big corporation behind you funding, unless you're fully rich.
Right.
You really... It's not really an easy path for you to do this.
Well,
right?
It's not. I mean, if you're going the FINAS route, there are some extreme rules, as we know, some of the stories you can and can't tell.
Exactly.
If you're looking for funding from an extremely wealthy person, then everybody has their own little agenda as well.
Exactly.
So how do you find the money then?
So, you know, the Far East Documentary Center has been my dream for a long time. So I decided, you know what? Just do it.
Yeah.
Let's just do it. I can't wait till money comes pouring. It's not going to happen. It will never happen.
Yeah. So we don't make money immediately.
No,
yeah. People don't believe us, but it's true.
As a friend of mine saying, there's thousands of money to be made in documentary films. There's not. So I set up a center. We registered a company, and I have a few advisors on board with me. But really, I launched this project called Biography Film Project, literally convincing people, everyday people, that you have a story. You are a hero of your own life. Do you like that to be documented? Let me help you to tell the story. And it will be not for you, just for you. It's like what do you call that? Something you can pass on generations to your children. And
it's a piece of heritage.
It's exactly a legacy you leave behind.
Yeah, legacy.
Because if it's not in this format, then, I mean, it was going to be in Facebook, really? I mean,
it's right? Funny you say that, because recently, I mean, my father passed away almost a year ago.
Sorry.
It's okay. A lot of my memories are on old school photographs. And I go up into my attic back in my parents' house and open up these huge suitcases,
right,
which have thousands of photographs,
right,
in, you know. And I think to myself, the kids who are growing up now, where are they going to go? What suitcase are they going to be able to open?
It's called Facebook.
Right, it's called Facebook.
And Instagram.
That's not necessarily going to be around forever, is it?
Exactly. One day the shower shuts down, and then what do you do? The whole history goes with it.
Yeah, everything is gone.
Exactly. So this is what I've been telling people. Friends mainly, friends and friends who passed away. It's word of mouth right now, where I spend 3 months with them, maybe even a month or so, depending on their budget. I spend time with your house. I dig into your photo albums, go through your phone for your videos, home videos that you probably shot using your phone.
So annoying.
I know. But then we make a story out of it. And I spend you have to let me do at least 6 hours interview with you. And I leave the creative and editorial control to me. While you're paying for it, I need the full creative control because it has to be told by somebody else.
Agreed.
And unless they give me that, I wouldn't commit to the project. So I've been very successful so far, really.
Mm.
Really. And I just need about 4 projects a year because I really like to get down to it, you know. And it takes 3 to 4 months to wrap a project, which is a very short time considering. But then that's how much people can pay. You're asking ordinary people to pay 20,000 to 30,000 for me to bring in one or two crews to continue follow you to shoot and then spend. Then thank God I'm the editor, so I can actually edit.
Right.
So you don't expect Hollywood quality, but you can expect a decent documentary of your life and your family and your for future keepsake. We'll give you DVDs, we'll give you high resolution. And because I know FINA's Pitching Center is actually free for filmmakers to actually organize screening now. I don't think many people know that. I'm actually planning to hold screenings for the family if I invite a guest there.
That's a great idea.
Exactly. Imagine you can invite your friends and family to come and watch a film that, I mean, we all know everybody got a story. It's just how you tell it. You just let somebody else to get it out of you, you know?
Yeah.
So I'm not competing for those big. I'm not lining up along with other filmmakers who's fighting for. I'm just trying to create my own space because creative space is yours. You get to create it. This place is so wide, and it's just that's the beauty about being creative, right?
You've got to love telling stories. That's the one thing, right?
Yes.
And you clearly do.
I do. Yeah. I love to listen. That's the key. It's not so much telling. It's really listening.
Yeah.
Sitting, and people are dying to tell stories. You can sit next to somebody in the bus and they would just want to spend next hour traveling and tell you this story.
I mean, recently I spent some time traveling around Malaysia by myself for the first time in a long time.
Wow.
And it was, and I love listening to people. I mean, I talk for a living, that's my job. But essentially what I do is I listen. And I think that's a skill that people forget. They forget the art of conversation. They forget how empowering it is to the other person when you listen to them because they just want to tell a story.
Exactly.
You know, and even if it is some of the most mundane things in their life, for you, it's something new. You know, I love to hear the stories of the woman. I was on a bus recently, actually, and it was heading up the coast on the East Coast. And this woman who barely spoke any English was trying to tell me how she'd been making these small little woolen hats.
Wow.
She'd got a bag full of these things, and she was charging 2 ringgit for them. You know, nobody else on the bus wanted to listen to her. But I was quite happy just to sit there because, you know, it's fascinating for me.
Right.
How did you make them? Where did you get the products from? You know, how have you decided to do that?
Exactly.
Following somebody around for 3 months and telling a story of their life, I think, is a wonderful idea.
Yes.
And I think it safeguards a period of history that, if we're not careful, we're going to lose.
No, that's the thing. How do you a nation's culture? It's preserved in the stories of individuals who occupy that nation. You know?
Yeah.
So personal history is as important as a country's history.
I agree.
And as more and more I travel and I started seeing community museums existing in some countries, which I'm like, wow, really? That's really preserving your own story is really as important as preserving the country's history. And a lot of people need to be taught. Why is it important? It's like, my story? Why? No, I'm genuinely interested in you. I have so many questions. Just sit with me for the next 3 hours.
Yeah. Let me ask you a bunch of questions. Yes. Right. Indrani, it's been an absolute pleasure meeting you. Thank you very much for coming
Same
in today.
Here, Richard. Thank
Good
you.
Luck with everything in the future, yeah?
Thank you, Richard.
All right. I've been asking you a question all the way through the show, listeners. The question was, what is the name of Indrani's documentary? Indrani, what's it called?
It's the game changer.
It's the game changer indeed. If you answered correctly, you'll be hearing from us after the show. Indrani, thank you very much for coming. It's time for me to wrap up. Good night, everybody. You have been listening to That Time of Night here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.
The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
The moon, yeah. That's Hugo, tickling the ivories. He just saved by bundling home and auto with Progressive. Gonna finally buy a ring for that gal of yours, Hugo? Send her my condolences. Hi-oh! This next one's for you, too. There's a burglar in my heart. Thank you.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Discounts not available in all states or situations.